From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Monday, March 26, 2018. And on this day, a program that lets veterans get health care closer to home is working well for vets, but less so for hospitals. And questions about the state's plan to pass on responsibility for educating many young kids with disabilities to local school districts. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org. And by Lee Auto Malls, 4 generations serving Mainers since 1936, 19 Maine locations, and at leeauto.com.
Attorneys for the woman charged in the death of her 10-year-old daughter, Marissa Kennedy, have asked a judge to remove state prosecutors from the case. In a motion filed in Waldo County District Court today, defense attorneys accuse prosecutors of misconduct. Patty White has more.
Defense attorneys allege the Maine Attorney General's office improperly issued a subpoena to obtain confidential information about their client, Sharon Carrillo, who's accused of the beating death of her daughter. According to court documents, prosecutors subpoenaed the Maplebrook School in New York, where Carrillo was a student more than a decade ago, and received 73 pages of sensitive information. Defense attorney Laura Shaw says that subpoenas issued from Maine are not valid across state borders, and that prosecutors falsely indicated that if school officials did not send the requested records, they would have to appear in court in Maine on a date when nothing was actually scheduled. Shaw's asking the court to prohibit the state from using those records. She also wants the attorney general's office to be removed from the case.
There has to be some sort of repercussion to right what has happened here. I mean, these are the prosecutors handling the most important cases in the state, and we need to make sure that they're following these procedures perfectly.
The attorney general's office declined a request for comment. The motions will be considered in Waldo County District Court on Tuesday. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Governor Paul LePage and Attorney General Janet Mills are once again at odds. This time it's about LePage's effort to restore 8 attorney positions within the Department of Health and Human Services. Mills says her office should be involved. Mal Leary has more.
The department wants to restore funding for 8 positions that would otherwise be eliminated starting July 1st. Those staffers would be attorneys who do contract reviews and provide internal legal advice. In testimony before the legislature's Appropriations Committee, Deputy Commissioner Mike Marr says there are a lot of contracts that have to be scrutinized.
It's a very large workload. I think the department is, we're trying to get down the contract numbers. We're probably fluctuating somewhere around 1,300 to 1,500 annually.
Marr says it's also easier to have in-house legal help than to ask the Attorney General's office for advice on various issues, including contracts. And he says the in-house attorneys would not represent the state in court. But Attorney General Janet Mills says the law in Maine is clear, and it's her office that represents the state and should therefore approve any hiring of legal staff that work on its behalf.
As a lawyer, there is no question about what the practice of law is or what legal services means. It's not just going to court. As any of you know, when you hire a lawyer, you often hire a lawyer to keep you out of court.
Mills argues that her office has experts in contract law as well as litigation, and that when an assistant attorney general is representing an agency in any matter, that they have access to that expertise. She says the lawyers that DHHS has hired have never met or consulted with her. Westbrook Representative Drew Gattine, who co-chairs the committee and once worked for the AG's office, agrees with Mills.
If there is a need for additional legal capacity, my point of view is it'd be better off to build that capacity within the Attorney General's office and not within any of the various agencies of state government. I'm not singling out DHHS.
Gattine says if the case can be made that more staff are needed to handle the workload, he would consider adding new positions within the AG's office. Some see this dispute as just the latest illustration of the ongoing political rift between Republican LePage administration and Attorney General Mills, who's seeking the Democratic nomination to replace him this year. Representative Tom Windsor of Norway is the Republican House lead on the committee.
From where I sit right now, it looks like I got two bureaucracies fighting with one another about see who wants to be the bigger one. But, you know, in the end, we need to get the work done.
Committee members ask for additional information before they consider the bill at a work session later in the week. They want to know more about the legal workload at the department and about the actual job descriptions for the 8 positions, which would cost close to $1 million a year. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
The State Department of Education wants to end its current system for educating young children with disabilities and shift the responsibility for many of those children to local school districts. But at a legislative hearing on the new proposal today, advocates, parents, and legislators had a lot of questions about how the new system would impact children across the state. Robbie Feinberg has more.
Maine's Child Development Services is a quasi-governmental entity with 9 regional sites across the state. But Jan Breton with the Maine Department of Education says the system isn't working. Breton says it's left the state with a deficit of about $3.7 million and with overworked, underpaid staffers and children who aren't being adequately served.
The problems plaguing CDS include high rates of staff turnover due to the inability of CDS to offer competitive salaries and benefits, children on waiting lists for services, high and inequitable provider rates, and funding deficits.
Under new legislation drafted by the Department of Education, that system would be largely eliminated. In its place, the state would have control of children from age 0 to 3. But children age 3 to 5 would now be the responsibility of local school districts. Breton sees that as a good thing. She says local schools can pay teachers higher wages and share staff amongst districts. Breton says that would result in better care for younger students.
And to help ensure positive outcomes for our birth to 5-year-old children.
But at a public hearing on Monday, legislators, educators, and parents still had many questions.
Let's do this the right way and not the rushed way.
Carrie Woodcock, the executive director of the Maine Parent Federation, told a legislative committee that she and a number of other parents were very concerned about the effects of the new system. Among them, that young children with disabilities may end up stuck on long bus rides, which she says would be detrimental to many. In addition, Woodcock says she feels the transition is being rushed by the state and legislature. She doesn't have confidence that parents will understand these changes and their children may be hurt as a result.
I am concerned the current rushed pathway we are taking will lead to children being left behind.
At the hearing, some school officials did support the change, including Biddeford Superintendent Jeremy Ray. Ray says he sees huge waiting lists for services locally and thinks the new proposal could alleviate some of that problem.
Public schools need to be in this game. We need to be part of this.
But he and many others say they still have concerns about how the program would be funded, how schools could afford staff, and the transition to the new system. Ray says the funding shouldn't come from the state funding formula, which uses factors such as property valuation to determine how much money districts receive.
We cannot put local school committees in a position to choose between a local budget crisis and the services for children in this population.
The legislature will take on those issues at a planned work session on the bill later this week. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
Republican Senate President Mike Thibodeau is ending his bid for governor. In a Facebook post, he says he just has too much going on between the legislature and running his own business to also run for governor. His departure from the race leaves 4 Republican candidates for the June 12th primary. Steve Missler has more.
Thibodeau announced that he's dropping out of the governor's race in a Facebook post published Monday. Thibodeau launched his campaign in November, later than many of the declared candidates, but posted a strong showing in campaign contributions. Although he started his political career as a conservative firebrand, Thibodeau was viewed by some as a moderate in a Republican primary field that has attempted to capture supporters of Governor Paul LePage. LePage and Thibodeau have publicly clashed during recent battles over the state budget, and in 2015, the governor's political operation blanketed Thibodeau's district with robocalls critical of the Senate president. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Finally, today, a four-year-old program that allows veterans to receive health care services closer to home is working well in Maine for the veterans. But Maine hospital officials say the VA choice program's being undermined by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs' inability to promptly reimburse them for the care they deliver. As A.J. Higgins reports, 2nd District Congressman Bruce Poliquin says he's committed to clearing the bottleneck of more than $10 million in VA back payments to Maine hospitals.
Poliquin said he called a Monday meeting of hospital administrators and Veterans Affairs officials at the Togus VA hospital to make a simple point.
When you have a rural hospital that contracts with a VA to provide services for veterans, those hospitals need to get paid and paid on time.
The VA is supposed to pay Maine's hospitals that participate in the four-year-old VA Choice program within 90 days. VA Choice is an option that allows veterans to receive medical care closer to home instead of driving to the Togus facility in Augusta. But Maine hospital representatives say that the VA is up to 2 years behind with the payments, and for some smaller medical facilities operating on tight margins, the back payments are potentially crucial to the facility's solvency. Rod Bula is the CEO at Calais Regional Hospital.
26 of the 36 hospitals in this state are struggling financially. Three hospitals have closed in Maine since 2013. We don't want to be the fourth, fifth, sixth. We don't want to be closed at all. We want to remain open.
Poliquin said he became aware of the slow reimbursement process for the VA claims at the Calais Regional Hospital last year. As the months rolled by and the payments were still not received, the congressman said he demanded a meeting with HealthNet Federal Services, a third-party intermediary that coordinates care for veterans.
Last October, I'd had enough. I got in a car with two of my staffers, and we drove out to the headquarters of HealthNet. We walked in unannounced, and I demanded to see the president of HealthNet, and I was not going to leave until I met with him. We shut the door. We were in there for 1 hour. And I told them I was not going to leave until you commit to me that we're going to get Calais Hospital paid so they can meet payroll.
Poliquin said the company responded, and within a week of his visit, repayment arrangements were made with Calais Regional Hospital. But slow VA payments continue, and Poliquin says he helped to found the Congressional Rural Hospitals Caucus to help address this issue and others. Lisa Harvey McPherson, representing Eastern Maine Health Systems, said 3 years ago, hospitals in her organizations were owed about $12 million in VA payments. Those were paid, but she says the problem has resurfaced.
What we realize now, this is cyclical in nature. We've pretty much cleaned up those claims from 2013, 14, 15. But yet today in 2018, we're working on claims from 2016, 2017. We are fundamentally challenged to fix this.
Poliquin says he is hopeful that new priorities that he and others in Congress are placing on the VA will result in a new and more timely payment process. In January, VA Secretary David J. Shulkin issued a press release promising that improving the timelines of payments to community providers remained a critical element of the VA's overall goals. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, for Monday, March 26, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.